Well, the story goes. Burlington Oreo Breyers ice cream.
It's on, honestly.
Well, no, it's not. He does have me cut off back there.
You never sound better.
Oh, me. Good morning, Linda. Am I on now? Okay, good. What do you do? We're in trouble when your sound man says, you're on, and I'm sitting here doing everything, and no, I'm not, and I don't do anything, and then all of a sudden, miraculously, I come on. So anyway, it's okay, Bill. It's been a long night for you, I know. Story about a man who's being tailgated by a stressed-out lady on a busy street. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. Well, the tailgating woman was furious with him, and she honked her horn, screaming in frustration. As she missed her chance to make it through the intersection, she dropped her cell phone and her makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up at the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was awaiting with her personal effects. He said, ma'am, I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, the Choose Life license plate holder, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car. Well, you know, we are known by the company we keep, right? And we are known by the associations that we claim. And oftentimes what we do, we blow those associations wide open. Well, today we're going to be talking about connections. We're going to talk about one of our three major missional thrusts going forward in our church as we begin the series called Next Steps. And as we talk about next steps in our lives, I want us to understand that the steps we take need to be very strategic, and they need to be made very purposefully. That when we take a step, that we're recognizing that our steps that God wants us to take are always going to wind up taking us closer to Him. And yes, this is a stairway to heaven, and I will assume the band will be playing that one real soon, all right, during this series. But, you know, we've got to recognize that whenever we move anyway, we've got to ask the question, am I moving closer to God? Am I moving closer to the point at which He wants me to be? Now, you guys hopefully either made or solidified some connections this morning. So I want a few of you just to volunteer to tell me about someone you met this morning. Tell us their name, tell us where they were born, and tell us what they told you about their ice cream. So who wants to share with us about someone they met this morning? Okay? Now, next couple of weeks, the questions will get a little more difficult. All right, so this will be a lot more fun next couple of weeks. Who wants to tell us about someone they met? All right, Sandra? Black cherry ice cream. What brand, Kathy? Any particular? Any kind? Any kind. Wow. Okay, cool. Thank you. Welcome, Kathy. Someone else. Who did you meet today? Maybe you've met them before, but you found out something new about them. All right, back here. Yeah, hey, Pat. Uh-huh. Chocolate chip. Okay, she's not like a chocolate chip kind of person. He's from where? Ohio. Jeff's from Ohio? Yeah, okay. Well, no wonder you didn't remember his ice cream, right? You kind of just blew you away because he was from Ohio.
I know what it is.
What is it?
Biscuits and gravy.
I'd like to try to make a milkshake out of that sometime. Somebody else. Somebody you met, where they were born, what their favorite ice cream is. Conrad, who'd you meet? Yeah? Cookie dough? Ooh, that's some... That'll clog you up right there, baby. That cookie dough stuff. I'll tell you, Ryan. That's good stuff. I know, baby. My kids eat cookie dough raw right out of the freezer. I'm telling you, man, I don't touch that stuff. That looks pretty rough to me. Somebody else, give me somebody you met and where they were born and their favorite ice cream. And again and again and again. Florida. Florida and mint chocolate chip. We got a lot of folks that have moved into North Carolina, don't we, that are here. Somebody else. Brenda. You met Sue? Where was she born?
New York.
New York. Good gracious. I didn't know that about you, Sue. Good gracious alive. Yeah, well, it does, you know. It does. Is that why you went into the polls the other day when I saw you and you came right back out because you're not registered in North Carolina? Is that what it is? You were just trying to... Somebody else you met. Yeah. Okay, Ryan. He likes birthday cake ice cream. Wow, I tell you. Like every day is a birthday for you, huh? I hear you, man. Yeah, Ryan's one of our basketball stars. Y'all watch Eastern's articles and box scores this year. Catch him now before he, and get his autograph now before he goes to the big time one day. And we'll trust his tithe one day. We'll support our church real well. But anyway, Mark, you might want to get with Ryan real quick. Help him start managing his money now. Right. Thank you, Ryan. That's real cool. Somebody else. Back here. Yeah, man. Oh, Peggy. Does that surprise you, Mark, that your mom likes vanilla? No. You probably had to go to the store and get it for her. One more person. Bob Feinrich, two. We'll get you two, Kirk. Bob. Bob. All right, who is lactose intolerant? Let's help Bob with that was Daniel, okay? Maybe. It might have been Bob. Okay. I can help. Okay, Kirk. She likes it all? Okay, likes it all. That's good. Well, I was born in Burlington, and my favorite is Breyer's Oreo cookie. And for those of you who have been tracking my habits of my late-night milkshake, I had cut it down for a while, and you know what? I just decided to cut out salads instead, you know? So I did cut something out, and so it's working for me. It's working for me. It does. Okay, we need to move on now, I believe. Oh, me. You remember what we did, the last series we did before this past one? And by the way, I want to thank you for allowing me to share with you what I thought was some very important stuff over the past 3 weeks. We have all a job to do now, and that is to support and pray for and do everything we can to help those who have been moved into office around our country to do the best that they can do and to be the best that they can be. So I encourage you to do that. But remember the series we did right before that. We talked about what it meant to live like you were dying. And we talked about some very key things that we need to focus on and things that we would really need to understand if we had like only 30 days to live. Well, now the question coming out of that I was asking all through that series is, okay, what next? What next? What do we talk about next? And I believe it's important for us to understand the basic blocking and tackling of the Christian faith and what it means to go back to those very things that make being a Christ follower what it is. So we're going to do that in the next couple weeks, and we're going to talk about three major missional thrusts that we have. Today we're going to talk about what it means to really have authentic connections. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about that. Next week we're going to talk about what it means to engage your strengths, to take what it is that God has given you to be and to do and to move forward in it. Then we're going to talk in another couple weeks about what it means to really worship with your life, to really take what God has given you and to leverage it in such a way that everything you do is directed toward Him, no matter where you might be. Well, we talked about during that series what it meant to embrace eternity with our time, our resources, and all of our energy. But we're going to talk about that maybe a little more specifically today. You know, one of the things that I told you about in our church is we've kind of gone through a period over the past few years of reassessment and reevaluation. And over that time, our staff and elders got together quite a bit and prayed and thought about this whole issue of what is it that we need to do to really ratchet up the level of growth among our people, not just numerically, but also individually in terms of what's happening with you in your inner being, in your spirit, in your soul. And we came up with some thoughts about what we needed to do. But before we did that, we went through a long time of just kind of looking at what the issues were in our church. And when we looked at this thing, we came up with these three initiatives, as I told you, the authentic connections, the engaging your strengths, and the really it had to do with Sunday weekend excellence to kind of help you recharge your batteries for the week to move forward. And you see these plastered in signs like that all over our church, because that's what we want to be about. That's what we want you to be about. And we don't need to be about anything else other than doing those three things. Because when we do those three things, guess what? Things work. We don't need to do any more than those three things, because for us, they encompass everything that we need to do. Well, I made you a list of, it's going to be on your screen, it's not on your outline, on your What's Up, but we categorized some of the obstacles that we felt existed in our church. And I'm going to share with you those over the next couple weeks and kind of talk to you about how we figure that we need to attack these and how you can help, how you can get engaged, how you can get involved, and in doing this, how you can get a closer connection to Christ, how you can deal with figuring out what it is you're good at, how God equipped you, and moving forward with that and to use it in His kingdom. So real quickly, let me give you some obstacles that we had. First of all, we felt that we had some pretty unclear expectations with regard to what it means to be connected in the body of Christ. We probably haven't done a good job of talking to you about that over time. And so we're going to really look at today, for example, what the Scripture says about connection. You know, the little exercise that Kyle had you do a few moments ago was not meant just to be a fun time, although it was fun, but it was meant to be an opportunity for you to truly get to know somebody a little better. Now, that would be all for naught if you totally forget the name of that person that you met, like Bob and a couple have already done, just playing Bob. But it would be beautiful if you can remember that person and get to know them a little bit. Okay, but connection is all about that. We're going to talk about that. Another obstacle that we had to deal with, we've kind of been ambiguous about it, what it means. How can we grow? What are some of the steps that we can take to deepen our relationship with Christ? Now, can I say this? Ladies, please do not take offense. Guys, I'm going to come to your defense for a moment, okay? By the way, guys, when we do this, when Stephen came up this morning and y'all did this real high-pitched, shrill, whatever it was, howl, you know, I asked the guys in the meeting, but I said, can we not do that a little more masculinely, you know, and says, but something like that. Yeah, so that's a lot better, you know. And Scott, you just had back surgery. You're going to strain yourself. You better be careful. But here's the point. The way we traditionally do church down through the ages has been geared toward a more feminine personality. We have geared church, typically, if you think about it, the way we do church, toward the preferences primarily of ladies. We don't talk about an adventure with Christ. We don't liken, for example, much the idea of a relationship with Christ being going hunting in South Dakota for pheasants. Somebody did that here not too long ago. I know that. Who was it that did that? Somebody in our church did that. Anyway, and then I ran into somebody in Minnesota a couple weeks ago who had just gotten back from doing the very same thing in South Dakota. But we don't talk about that, do we? We don't take a relationship with Christ and couch it in terms that would typically appeal to the masculine, adventure-seeking, you know, loving kind of mentality that guys would like to have. And I believe, and I'm not saying that's what we do here, although, you know, I think all churches do it most churches do it to a degree. But what we've done is we've almost taken church to the point where we've made it a little more difficult for guys to really get into it. Does that make sense? And I think, now whether you agree with me or not, I'm right, okay? And you can have your opinion, all right? All right? So you know, we've got to make sure that what we do, that we understand that we've got to come up with processes for spiritual growth, for deepening our relationship with God, no matter what gender we are, no matter what race we are, no matter where we are in terms of our church life, etc., da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, we come to church, you hear somebody speak. Well, that's great. Guys, you probably, you know, maybe we need to play a rugby game or something, you know, before we do this, instead of doing a meet and greet, you know? Maybe that would appeal to us a little bit more. But the point is, we've got to do a better job at figuring out what it is that helps people develop a deeper walk with Christ. Because you know what? A deeper walk with Christ is going to look different for one person than it will for another. It's not going to be the same. And therein lies the complication. How do we recognize the differences in people, and how do we tailor make those processes so that people can grow at their own pace and in congruence with who God truly made them to be? Well, the third obstacle that we have, divergent demographics. Divergent demographics makes it difficult to standardize offerings in terms of growing. Again, how do we tailor make offerings for people to grow, to the resources? And the fourth one that we have is underutilized resources. We don't, you know, we feel like we can do a better job of helping you know what's out there so that you can take advantage of it. Here's the worst thing that could happen is if you were to become totally dependent on what goes on Sunday morning for your spiritual growth, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there. Because my message from the platform, the music that the team sings from the platform, is a shotgun approach. It's not targeted. It's not targeted to you where you are. You know where you are, and we've got to do a better job of providing you resources with regard to what you can do. What study can you do? What group, what small group can be created, that can help you get what you need? So, you know, those are some of the obstacles that we kind of came up with that kind of led us to this conclusion that we've got to do a lot better job of this. So I'm going to talk about three connections that are critical in the Christian walk today. And I want you to ask yourself this question: of these three connections, which one of them really describes where I am or where I need to go next? Because this series is all about your next steps. It's all about what you do next to take that next step into a deepening walk with Jesus Christ. Well, what's the first one? The very first one, the most important thing we can think of, and we talk about this fairly often, we're not a church that casts the evangelistic net every Sunday, all right? And that's okay, because I don't think that we need to. But we need to understand what it means to connect to Christ. What does it mean to be connected to Jesus Christ? Now, this is all about the term salvation, which is, by the way, an ambiguous term, all right, which many people define different ways. The idea of salvation really has to do with deliverance from who I am into a position of where God wants me to be. It has nothing to do with how good I am, okay? It has nothing to do with me earning anything. It's all about God's grace. And I'm just going to give you four really quick things and some verses that we need to know. Because you know what? One of the things that we need to understand as Christ followers is that we need to be capable of doing more than just inviting people to church. Part of being the church to people has to do with our ability to share the gospel with them. Now, what does that mean? Again, share the gospel. Guys, I'm sorry. That's not a phrase I know that's real masculine, okay? And maybe it kind of, maybe that's one of the problems. I don't know. What does gospel mean? The root word of gospel is what? Good news. It's the root phrase. It's good news. That's what it is. The good news that Jesus came and he died on the cross to save you and I. From what? Well, to be honest with you, from ourselves. When you get down to it, that's basically what the gospel is. And you know, it takes a certain commitment that we have to make in order to appropriate that salvation in our lives. And see, I would dare say that the vast majority of Christians, professing Christians, would not be able to articulate the steps or the purpose or how someone can enter into that relationship with Christ. All right? Now, maybe that's what we'll do. Maybe next week the meet and greet. No, I won't tell you that because you won't come next week. I'm just joking. We're not going to do that. But the question is, are you capable of explaining to someone else what they need to do and what the Bible says about how to give their lives to Christ? Now, there are, you can look in Christian catalogs and you can find numerous resources on this stuff. And all of them have, you know, different words, different phrases, da-da-da. But it really all boils down to basically saying, God, I want you to take over, and sincerely meaning it. So what are those things that we can do? And let me say this. If you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, I'm not talking about going through a confirmation class at 12 and getting sprinkled or baptized, even immersed at 12 as a result of completing a class. I'm not talking about an emotional experience in a revival one time where grandma took you and, you know, you had this thing just kind of come over you and then, you know, there wasn't any real follow-up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what it means to live on a daily basis so that people around you know that there is something different. And here's the other thing. Now, many people live that way. People know that there's something, you know, something different about you. But that what you have, okay? That's a lot of us here, right? But here's the second part of that equation. Not only do they notice that there is something very different about us, but that they recognize that it is something that they need and that they want. You see, that's the other part of the equation, all right? How many of us really live our lives and our quest day to day is that we live our lives that way? You know, Tammy and I went to dinner last night, and we were just talking because no kids were around. And you know, one of the things that she was telling me, she shared devotions at her school the other day, and she ended up, and she said, you know, she said, I just kind of realized, and I said it at the end, that at the end of the day, I just want to be able for God to just look at me and say, today you were light. Today you were light. Now, I had to admit, I'm like, wow, you know, you kind of put me to shame, honey, there. I haven't thought of it that way, but I'm going to adopt your way of thinking there. But how many of us really think of it that way? That at the end of the day, we want Jesus to look at us and say, you know, today you were light. Because the Bible talks about light and darkness. And we choose where to live our lives. Darkness is the easy place to live. Would you agree? It's the easy place to live. It's the place where habits and where you know, things get a hold of us that control us. It's a place where we choose to meet our own sinful desires. It's a place where we choose to live life as we ourselves want to live it. But the light, the irony is when we walk in the light, we're not walking our way. That's the irony of it. We're walking God's way, recognizing that His way is a whole lot better than ours. Now, unfortunately, life takes us through twists and turns, and often we don't come to that realization until we've spent a lot of time in the darkness. Okay? Now, you know, that's okay. That's okay. Because wherever you have walked in darkness, the Bible says that there are others who God also now sees who are in the darkness, and He's going to bring them your way. Now, the darkness may come even after you've committed your life to Christ. There are times in your life as a Christ follower where things happen that you don't understand. And you know what? You can come to your pastor, and you know what? Chances are your pastor don't understand either. Because your pastor is no Bible answer man. And I'm no spokesman for God other than what He tells me to say. I can't just conjure up something. Your elders can't just conjure up something. To be honest with you, no man can do that. Okay? But the point is that darkness comes. But many people live in the darkness, and that's their abode. And the Bible says that the light is where we need to be. So how do we get to the light? How do we, when we come across people who are in darkness, how do we help them see what the light is and to move forward toward that direction? Well, let me give you just four things that we like to say And these are four, and I even hate to make these things steps, but they are in a way. There's a process that typically happens when someone makes this crossover from the darkness into the light. And generally, four things that happen are this. First of all, we have to admit that God has not been first place in our lives. And we have to ask Him to forgive our sins. Now for many people never get to this point because this word, A-D-M-I-T, is one of the most difficult words in the English language. Because admitting something like this is diametrically opposed to the idea that I'm number one. I'm first. I need to do what I want to do. And oftentimes, we can't even begin to bring ourselves to that point. But we got to admit that God has not been first place in our lives and ask Him to forgive our sins. Now, can I tell you this? That even after someone commits their life to Christ, there are times when Jesus falls out of first place. It happens. Matter of fact, it can happen fairly often. Because we are subject to the same temptations that we were before moving from darkness into the light. Then we've got to acknowledge, let me say, the verse there, I love 1 John 1:9. It's one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sins, there's another word that's very difficult for us. What's that word? Confess. He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, the problem is, I don't think that there are a lot of people who don't believe that verse. They don't believe that Jesus will actually do this. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's a spiritual thing. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we get in a bathtub or a shower or something, we just scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub. We're never going to get completely clean physically. But the Bible tells us that spiritually we can become clean. But it takes a confession. Now, can I say this? That many people have made what they thought were confessions, but they were just words intended to appease someone else. Married couples, do we do that in our marriage sometimes?
No.
I just want to get this thing over with. I'm not going to say it because my wife will be in the second service. It's the only service I'm saying it in, right? All right. I just want to get this thing over with, so okay, I'll apologize. I'll confess to something, even though I really didn't think that I did it. We ever done that? Sure. Yes, dear. Scott, you're really straining your back now. I want you to know. The second thing that we've got to do is acknowledge that Jesus died to pay for our sins and that He rose again and is alive today. See, there's another thing I believe we have a problem with. I believe that while people might say, yeah, I believe in my head that Jesus rose again, there's a huge distance, probably the greatest distance in the world is from the head to the heart and from the heart to the head. You see, it takes more than a head knowledge, but rather a commitment. It takes a sense of devotion that this is what happens. And guess what? That He's living today. So many people disregard that fact, and they don't think that He is active and that He wants to make a difference in my life today, right now, at whatever time it is, 9:15, right? 9:45, I'll admit, 9:45, right? He wants us to recognize that right now, at this particular point in time, He's alive. Third, we need to accept. Let me go back to Romans. Romans 10:9. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, there's another word that we've taken and we've churchized it so much, where particularly in the Bible Belt, it's one that people don't like to hear. It's a turnoff, but it's in the Bible. You will be what?
Saved.
Saved. Just turn across your radio dial and you'll find it, right? I had a gal that came to church last week after she'd been away for a long time, and she said, I'm glad to be back home. She said, you know, I went to such and such church this morning for their early service, and I came on over here, and she had this deer in the headlights look in her eyes. And I said, were you scared? And she said, I was terrified. So I said, welcome home. The third thing we got to do is accept God's free gift of salvation. Don't try to earn it. We've already talked about that. You are not capable of earning God's gift of salvation. You can be as good as you want to be, and you'll never be good enough. Okay? Now, to me, people are like, well, that's offensive. I'll never be good enough. That's a comfort to me. I don't have to be good enough. Now, that doesn't mean that I have a license to go out and live like I'm not good enough. Okay, that doesn't mean that at all. But it means that no matter what we do, we can't earn God's gift of salvation. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, no one can brag about it. Do you like people who brag? Okay, God doesn't either. So he says, I'm not going to give you something to brag about and give you the ability to earn your way to heaven. Because, you know, typically our nature is and our pride is we're going to brag about it. Then we need to ask Jesus to come into our lives and be the boss of our lives. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. This is not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. Now, if you are striving to be an active, progressing, growing Christ follower, you need to memorize what we just said. Because God brings around you all the time people who need this good news. They need to hear this. And you need to be capable of sharing with them. You know, it's great to invite them to church. Okay, wonderful, do it. Don't stop doing that. But if you sense the need for somebody to hear this, share it with them. You know, weave your own story into it. I'm not saying do it word by word. That's the biggest turnoff in the world. Trust me. When somebody knows you're doing a canned speech or a presentation, that is a big turnoff. But what you do is you take these principles and you weave it into your story. Your story is important. Okay? It is your billboard for God if you're a Christ follower. It's the best thing you can share with somebody else, and how, if you are a Christ follower, how this worked for you. Because people want relationships, they want connection. They need connection with God. The problem is, a lot of people don't realize that's the first thing they need. They go seek out other connections that are probably unhealthy in a lot of ways before they'll go to seek a connection with God. But if we can help people understand that God is their first resort, it would be huge. The second thing we need to do is connect our heart. Relationships with others. Now, we have our... This is part of being a church, together. And look, if you're here, if you've not taken our Connect Class 101 yet, you need to be there next week. On your connection card that Kyle and Mark told you about, if you've yet to take that class and become a part of the Integrity family, and if you feel like this is where you need to be, well, I personally feel like this is where you need to be, okay? You need to be in that class. We're going to serve you a hot lunch next week, okay? And then we're going to spend about an hour, hour and a half. But before you do that, you've got some work to do this week. On our website, we have the complete package. Our web guru has placed the complete package for the pre-work for our Connect class. So go to the website and just click on where it says Connect class, and you can have all the material there. You can listen to a DVD or a CD that, or I guess it's a whatever they call it now on the website. I'm not good at keeping. Thank God for people like the guys in the booth and the guys over here that keep me educated on this stuff. But you can listen to that whole deal on the website about what our church is about. Take notes, come in next week, and we'll talk a little bit about that for about an hour, hour and a half, whatever the case might be, and talk about, you know, this whole idea, what it means to be a part of the body of Christ and what it means to be a part of the Integrity family. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it. Now, Peter wrote those words to a church that was desperately in need of those words because things were not all hunky-dory there, okay? And there are three things that I want us to really take from that passage. Three ways that we need to really work on living our lives. The first one is living in unity with one another. living in unity with one another. Now, we live in a divergent society. And the definition of unity today is much more difficult than it used to be. We were in a conversation with somebody, you know, this week. I don't remember where we were. And we were talking about, you know, how people select people to be married. Well, today, you know, it's amazing because one couple will, and a couple, I met a couple the other day at the polls that one was from California, the wife was from Kentucky. Now, in the 18th and 19th centuries, I doubt that would have happened. Pretty much, you had to find pretty much your pool of eligible spouses was probably lived in a relatively small area around where you lived, okay? Oh, we were talking about the fact that we had a lot of a 60-year-old relative of somebody married a 30-year-old, you know? And while that's quite unusual today, it was not unusual back then, simply for that reason, okay? And you know, this whole thing about unity today is more difficult because we're divergent. We can go anywhere we want to go. Well, we got to live in unity. He said, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Church unity is a result of a life that is lived as a Christ follower. We got to live with compassion. We got to live with compassion. He says, look, be full of sympathy toward each other, loving each other with tender hearts and humble minds. You know, so many Christians, and thus churches, because churches are made up, at least by those who profess to be Christians, today are characterized by a rush to judgment and a spirit of gossip. Often, whenever something comes up about another person, they go to work. The gossip starts, the rejection begins. We can never allow our church to become a place like that. And on my watch, we won't. And many of you have told me how appreciative you are the fact that that is not something that regularly occurs here. I want to thank you for that. And that's something that we can never lose. Then the hard one is the third one. We've got to live for reconciliation. This is the tough one right here. Peter said, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. I'm going to use this term, and don't take it the wrong way, but don't live a busybody lifestyle where you're all about what somebody else said about you and trying to get back. I know so many people whose lives are consumed that way. And it is such a tragedy. It is such a tragedy. And it's just this busyness, you know. And I heard garbage this week, you know, that just made me want to, like a lady on a flight I had from Minneapolis a couple weeks ago, get a barf bag and just let it fly, you know. And when you're a regional jet and that happens, the odor permeates the whole plane, let me tell you that. But it really does. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. But, you know, we can never allow ourselves to get caught up in that mess. We never can. This is the hard part. Reconciliation only occurs when you are willing to live an authentic, transparent lifestyle. You got to be willing to say, you know, that person, although they might have been wrong or they might have been right, you know, what they say is not going to, doesn't have to have an impact on me. It doesn't have to describe who I am. It doesn't have to drive any action or any words on my part. Well, the third thing that I want to share with you really quick as we close out is this idea of growing our connection, growing in our connection. We also offer a class called Class 201, which is Growing in Christ. Now, it's a fairly lengthy class. We're probably going to break it down in two parts. We held it a couple weeks ago, and that was one of the observations we made. But we talk about some of the habits that are going to help us to become like the person described in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Whatever he does, prospers. Now, a story about during a visit to a mental asylum one day, a visitor asked the director, how do you determine whether or not a patient should be institutionalized? Well, said the director, we fill up a bathtub with water and we offer a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket to the patient and ask him or her to empty the bathtub. Oh, I understand, the visitor said. A normal person would use the bucket because it's bigger than the spoon or the teacup. No, the doctor said, a normal person would just simply pull the plug. Do you want a bed near the window? Where do you want your bed? You know, for the life of me, I have a hard time understanding sometimes why so often the answer is clearly in front of us. The answer to our questions and to our issues and our problems are so often right there in front of us. And yet we refuse to grasp, to reach out and take hold of the answers. And I believe that that old song that Andre Crouch wrote many, many years ago, "Jesus is the answer for the world today," is a perfect example of that. He's the obvious answer. And yet people, they try everything else before they get to Him, before they get connected with Him, before they seek connections with others who are Christ followers. Let me give you three things real quick we need to focus on. We're going to close. These are three awesome habits that we've all got to develop if we're going to be growing toward maturity with Christ. We've got to have a daily time with God. Here's an example. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. All through the Gospels, you can see Him doing that. You got to figure that out. Now, if you're a morning person, let it be in the morning. For me, it's while I'm working out on the treadmill in the elliptical thingy in the morning. That is a time when I am. Gosh, that sounds pious. I try to be totally engaged with God at that point. For me, it's morning time. I'm a morning person. For others of you who are late nighters, you know, maybe it's whenever you're at your best. The second thing, we got to learn how to talk to God. Now, the good thing about talking to God is there's not a whole lot to learn about it. It's as simple as talking to somebody, praying. That's what we mean. That's what a real connection with God is. The Bible says in Philippians 4, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here's the third thing we've got to figure out. We've got to do a much better job of, all of us, myself included, is giving back to God out of the abundance that He has given us. Yes, this is our energy, but it is also our financial and physical resources. Folks, it is understanding, as my family understood Friday night as we were in the Dollar Tree shopping for these boxes. Numerous times, I literally was brought to tears right there in the middle of Dollar Tree. Because I was thinking back to what Chuck told us last week. And I was thinking of the children and praying for them already. Those kids that were going to receive these boxes, those back there, the ones that are yet to be here. Knowing that there are children. Now, how many of us would say, okay, we go to our kids and say, "Here's your Christmas this year," to our kids? What kind of reaction would we get? I think we know, don't we? "Well, I hope there's about a $500 gift card in there to American Eagle." Right? Let me tell you what's happening. It is not too late to do this. You only got 2 weeks. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go make your shopping trip this week and make it a prayer journey. All right? Do it as a family, as we did. All right? And talk about how kids are going to receive whatever you decide to pack in these boxes. Now, another couple of options. Celebrate Recovery is doing a packing party, as well as our kids' ministry at a lock-in they're doing on the 21st, Mr. Martin. And so you can bring all your stuff to the lock-in if you like. And Rick and the kids and adults, Philip, Becky, Jamie, they'll do that. They'll help you with that. But let me tell you, you will never, ever understand the blessing you will have missed if you don't do this together. Okay? Giving back to God by giving to others. Well, here's the thing that we need to understand. We live in a world that is hurting all around us. The hurt is getting more and more acute and severe every day. Many of you are hurting. The question that we need to face today is this: what must I do? What must I do with all this that we've talked about, with this thing about connections? First of all, you got to get connected to Christ. If you never received Him, you got to do those four things we talked about. However it looks for you, that's great. If you never received Him and you want to, you might want to check on your connection card where it says, "I want more information on how to begin a relationship with Christ." You got to get connected with others. You got to get connected in small groups. You got to get connected in opportunities for adventure, guys. And we're going to do a better job of that in the future. We got to pursue consistent growth. We got to continually be looking at what is that next step on that stairway to heaven? We call it a stairway to heaven if we want to, you know. I don't think Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin would mind. But what is my next step? I'd like to announce that we are going to do some things to bolster this. And we as a church, the elders and the staff, we've decided to take a real step of faith. And we know that we've got to have dedicated support and oversight of this part of our church. So today I'm really pleased to tell you and to announce to you that all the things that I've been talking about so far today, we've kind of consolidated those into a part-time pastor of Grow and Connect position. And I would like to introduce to you Mr. Todd and Christy Felkel, who will be coming on our staff in the next couple weeks. Stand up, Todd and Christy, and all the kids. Who will be coming on our staff. You know Todd, you've heard him speak, and you'll hear him again for sure. As they're going to be coming on our staff to oversee this and to help us with what we talked about today, with those opportunities. How we can help adults and how he can partner with Rick and Cody and all the other age-graded ministers to make sure that that we do this church-wide and how we do what we've talked about today. And I'm totally excited. I'm totally pumped about the opportunities that God has for us. But what must you do? What must you do today? Stephen and Suzanne are going to sing a little bit of a little song about that. About what it means to have a passion. And some of y'all got to go. I understand that. We might have ran a little bit over today, but that's okay. If you got to go, get out of here. Get the kids stuff, whatever you got to do. Stephen and Suzanne won't mock, because Suzanne's got to be there too. Am I finished it? I don't know, Todd. Did I? A daily time with God? What did I miss? Did I miss a blank? Did I miss a blank? Complete it. Yeah, yeah. Talking with God, and what was the other one? Giving back to God. Yeah, giving back to God. But here's the question I want to ask you. Is what we talked about today, is it really a passion in your life? And what needs to happen so that it becomes a passion for you?
Ambition for me.
God, give us a pure and holy passion for our lives, for the lives of those around us. God, may we understand what it means to connect to You, to connect to others, and God, to grow, to take the next steps toward becoming more and more like You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being with us today. Ryan, thanks, buddy, for being here. Guys, y'all need to take advantage of what Ryan can offer. I've met with him. I believe in what he's doing, and I would appreciate so much what you... And Mark, thanks for what you do for kids and for adults in that whole area of financial management. Don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection cards along with your offerings and your tithes in the boxes in the back. You got only 2 weeks to get your boxes in, so do not wait until the last minute. Let's see this whole place full next week. Bye-bye. God bless. To shame that which is strong and the fool.